5. And I just noticed now, I just turned on the audio system. So those that are listening to this message today, you didn't hear us sing Keep On Walking by Faith, but you go ahead and sing it on your own. Amen. And we'll catch you next time on that one. Praise the Lord. But we have it on now, and I'd like to welcome everyone here and also those that are listening all over the world on the internet and those that would be receiving the recordings later by CD and DVD and all these letters. Get your tongue tangled up a little bit, you know. But anyway, we'd like to welcome all of you here and those who listen to the tapes and everything too. God bless you. We are going to look at a subject today that I think is very urgent. As a matter of fact, I've been feeling a lot of urgency lately. One of the things that I'm finding difficult immediately is to be able to preach without going into my newsletter, because I'm in the middle of writing a newsletter, and it's a major project. Then, of course, every time I preach, it's a major project, because being a person who is not a good speaker and has no talent at all, I have to depend entirely on the Lord to help me. And so when He gives me two things to do at once, I've never mastered multitasking. So if a little of the newsletter slips out and into this somewhere, that's probably all right. But we're going to try and stay on task today, beginning in John chapter 5. But keep me in prayer, because I'd like to finish this newsletter quickly. In fact, as soon as it's finished, I feel like starting another one. There's so much going on. You know, I could work nonstop. I am now. But it's like there's so much happening. You just want to get the word out, because most people are oblivious to what's really going on. And there's a reason for that. There is a spiritual condition that persists in our land today. It's called spiritual deafness. And that's the title of our subject today, of our message, spiritual deafness. Now we're going to look at John chapter 5 to begin with, and going all the way down to verse 24. John 5:24. Jesus said, "Verily, verily." Now watch those verilies, because when you got two of them together, that is what we call a proof text. Whenever you've got two verilies, one following the other, this is an absolute statement of doctrine. It can mean nothing else. There's no way to twist it into something else. It's an absolute declarative statement of doctrine. That's why he starts out with two verilies. Now that, of course, when there's one verily, listen to that too. But when God says something twice, you better listen. All right? Remember Pharaoh's dreams? He dreamed them twice. Why? Joseph said, because the thing is established and cannot, C-A-N-N-O-T, cannot be changed. We live in a society that is demanding change. King Obama is coming in with change. Change. What is change? Nothing. Change is metamorphosis. You're in transition. There are no reference points. There are no absolutes. Just this ambiguous change. You know what? You don't just vote change in. Now, change can be good depending on your point of arrival. What are you changing to? But the only change that is worthwhile is when you are changed from a sinner into a child of God. That's change. And you don't vote change in, you repent change in. Come on. That's how you obtain it, through repentance. Now, anything else doesn't work. But we're looking at a declarative statement of Jesus Christ. What did he say? Verily, verily, I say unto you. Folks, this means you. Every one of us. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now let that soak in for just a moment. He that heareth my word. Do you know it's possible to sit within the hearing of the word of God and not hear it? Do you realize there are countless millions of people out there that have a perfectly good hearing system? Their auditory nerve works, their cochlea works, their eardrums work, everything works. But as the old saying goes, it goes in one ear and out the other. That happens when there's nothing in between to catch anything. It's possible to be in the hearing of God's word and not hear it. No wonder Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now think about that. Isn't that glorious? When you hear the word of God and you believe it and believe where it came from, something begins to happen. A miracle of transition begins to take place. And notice he says, but is passed. You know, is there a mistake there? Oh no, don't ever think there is a mistake in the King James Bible, because you will never find one. It is absolute. God promised he would preserve his word, and he did it with a Masoretic text and the Textus Receptus. This is the word of God. Some people think we don't have the word of God today. We have the word of God contained in various Bibles. Rick Warren said, "We who speak English are so lucky." Luck, a word derived from Lucifer, right? Did you know luck came from the word Lucifer? So don't ever feel lucky because you're claiming to feel the spirit of Lucifer. That's why they use that all the time when they're shaking dice and playing poker. Poker, a favorite game of Barack Hussein Obama. But anyway, you know, a few things may slip out here and there. But anyway, you know, it is not a matter of chance that you are saved. The Bible tells us that a miracle takes place. There is no mistake here in this, the way this is worded. Is past is the present perfect tense. When you believe, and of course believing is to obey, something immediately begins to happen in you. Is past. You walk through a threshold from death unto life. Can words do that? Could words create the universe if it's the Word of God? And if God said it, if God could create the universe by saying, "Let there be light," and there was light, and "Let the earth bring forth," and all the things that He said, the Bible says the Word of God was that. All the creation of God, this world, this universe, was brought forth and created by the power of His Word. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We didn't get here by a big bang. They want us to believe that there was this explosion out there. Of course, how did what exploded get out there? And then this big explosion took place and particles went flying in every direction. And then some of them started cooling down a little bit, became planets. Some didn't cool down, became stars. And then the sun, of course. And we started rotating around there, and little single-celled creatures decided they wanted to be something else. They wanted to advance. And so they advanced into double-cell creatures and little amoebas and things and swimming around in this goop, looks like pea soup, you know. And then they crawled out and decided, "Hey, I'd rather be a frog," or "I'd rather be this." Everything started evolving all by itself. All those colors and all those designs just all by chance. And the flowers started to grow with the beautiful petals and all these things all by chance. All those beautiful designs. You understand what I'm saying? And, of course, these various creatures decided they wanted to advance and get bigger and bigger and better and smarter, and you ended up finally with chimpanzees. Then they decided they wanted to be humans, so they put on some clothes and chopped their tail off and said, "Call me Mister," right? So you had all this evolution thing going. Hey, nothing has ever evolved. There's no evidence of anything ever evolving. In fact, things are devolving. It's not evolution, it's devolution. Things are devolving. But they, you know, every generation, and you know, the Bible does teach that, because death is at work. Everything is becoming inferior to its predecessor. As far as a human specimen, you are in, you don't want to think this way, but you are inferior to your parents as far as a human specimen. And they were inferior to their parents. You can go all the way back. Adam and Eve were the most perfect specimens of humanity ever. Everything's going downhill. Everything's going backwards. The earth is waxing old like a garment. Everything is literally crumbling and falling apart. Isn't that good news? I thought you'd like that. But that's good, because we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. As a matter of fact, our nation is deteriorating. Had you noticed? Everything's coming apart. And I'll get into a little more of that, no doubt, a little later. But I must bring forth a very vitally important point at the outset of this message. And that is, when you hear the Word of God, as Jesus said in John 5:24, something happens. You shall not come into condemnation. It says, but that person is past, present perfect tense. In to say what it says in Greek, to say that in English, takes two verbs to indicate that at that point in time, you've crossed a threshold, you've entered into the kingdom of God, you have left the condemnation you were walking in. Isn't that good news? And of course, we move on from there. The Bible tells us we must obey the gospel. You repent. You're baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Death, burial, resurrection. Walking with God. But this is what must first happen. You must hear and believe. Then he said, in verse 25, in support of his previous statement, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming," watch this now, "and now is." What is Jesus saying? What I'm telling you is for right now. It's true immediately. All right? "And now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now, he's not talking there about dead people in graves, 6 feet under. Oh, by the way, you know why they bury people 6 feet down? That's a decree of the Roman Catholic Church. It has to be six down. Did you know? How many knew that? So that became a law. But anyway, aside from all of that, he's not talking about people who are physically dead, but people who are very much walking around, doing their jobs, drinking their beer, watching their wild entertainment, just going through life, whatever they're doing, void of hearing the Word of God. They're dead while they live. They're breathing air. They're eating food. They're doing work, but they're dead. We live in a nation of dead people because they can't hear. They're not listening. They are deaf. Now, it's very interesting when you look at it that way, because he said, "They that hear shall live." Jesus came into the midst of his people. He came to his own received him not, but to them that received him, to them he gave power to become what? The sons of God, right? John chapter 1. What made the difference? Some heard and believed, and there was a transformation. And it all started with hearing the Word of God. They that hear shall live. Isn't it great when you talk to people and you finally find one who is able to hear? With many people, it bounces right off. And there are many reasons for that. We're going to look at the reasons why that is, what the distractions are. But you've all encountered it. Occasionally, you'll find one that can hear, and it's glorious. And you want to tell them, and they will listen. But most of the people you will ever talk to will not hear what you're saying. They'll hear the sound of your words, but it will mean nothing to them, because they are spiritually deaf. But those who hear, Jesus said, shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Who is the righteous judge? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's on the throne. He beholds all these things. In this time we're living in right now, where it seems like all control is being lost, the Lord's still in charge. Never forget it. And then Jesus said, marvel not at this. Don't be so shocked that people can walk around as dead people and appear, you know, the dead appear alive to other dead people. We can see them as dead. Sometimes I look at people and I think they must be brain dead. You ask them the simplest questions, they don't know. You don't know where to begin with them. Have you ever tried to explain the kingdom of God to anyone? Try this one on for size. Have you ever tried to explain Satan's conspiracy to anybody? And they look at you like a mule looks at a new gate? Have you ever tried it? Where do you start to try to explain to people that evil men usually form a collective society of control, that evil men think evil thoughts, say evil words, do evil deeds in the darkness, behind the scenes, in the corners, and take control over the rest of the world? Now, could that possibly be the case? Are there such people as Freemasons who gather together and nobody can come in except they're one of them? And they got a secret handshake and secret passwords, and they use these little things like Boaz and Tubal Cain, and they press knuckles, and they got all these signs and things that they do, right? And all these little things that, you know? And the hoodwink and all that. And you listen to these news commentators on CNN or any place you're looking, and you hear them use these Masonic words all the time, and it slips right past everybody, unless you know what to listen for. They're always using the word hoodwink lately. Did you notice that? Hoodwink this, hoodwink that. Well, that hoodwink is what the Mason puts on so that he's led in blindness. Of course, he's led to the light of Masonry, to the worshipful master ultimately, going through his various motions and different directions of the compass and all, and finally on up there, and eventually he's entered, passed, and raised, and then he is one of the elite master masons, right? You know how many politicians have done that? Oh yes, there are things done in darkness. It'd be foolish to think there is no conspiracy, but try calling in a radio talk show sometime and tell them you want to talk about the conspiracy. They're going to hit that dump button quicker. And you can wink your eye. I'll never forget the time I was at the university. I was sitting at my desk. Sticks in my mind like it was yesterday. And I was having lunch. We got a half hour for lunch there, and I stayed right at my desk and turned on the radio and listened to Rush Limbaugh, Maharishi, as he calls himself. As in Mahabon? Huh? Which is the words the Masons say. Well, anyway, he comes on and he's talking, but he hadn't started his program yet. He thought the mic was off, and he was talking not with his radio voice, but his casual voice. He's talking to his producer and said, I just had a call from David Rockefeller, And he said you are to definitely not allow anybody on the air who's going to talk about the Trilateral Commission or the Council on Foreign Relations. He had this little list of things. He said, do not let them on the air. And then all of a sudden, his music started, and then he came on with his other voice. Hey, somebody left the button on, just for me. Well, maybe for a few others too. Oh yes, there are secrets. There are conspiracies. How about when our Congress got together in secret session last March? Wouldn't let anybody in, no press, nobody. And they were talking about the economy and how to control people when everything collapses. And word leaked out from somebody who was in there through Australia. I got a hold of it, published it in May. People said I was nuts when I said the economy would crash in September. And then September came, and what happened? Down it went. Oh yes, there are secrets, but God always has a little bird in the window. You know, the Bible says birds talk. A bird of the air shall tell thee. I told Professor about that, and he said, yep, yep. That's what he said, yep. He knew. Well, well. But we understand that salvation is a very serious matter. For Jesus said in verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now you come to the general resurrection. The first resurrection is when you hear and believe. And as a sign that you have heard and believed, you obey by going down in the water in Jesus' name, and you come up and there's your first resurrection. Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On him the second death hath no power. Why? You're not in condemnation anymore. You are passed from death to life. And so he said, the time shall come. The hour is coming. He didn't say, and now is. There. Like he did before. In the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. Damnation. Those nation words are interesting, aren't they? Damnation? Obamination? Or is that abomination? What difference does it make? It comes out the same. Oh yes, it's that serious that we're going to spend eternity somewhere. Where will it be? We must hear in order to live. We must hear the Word of God. Turn back with me now to Amos chapter 8 for just a moment. No, we're going to be here a little while, in fact. We're going to start late in that chapter and then move back to the beginning, but let's start in first with verse 11. Amos 8, 11. Remember, bearing in mind always that Jesus said, we must hear to live. Everybody got that one down? We must hear to live. Now he says in Amos 8, 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They that hear shall live, but there would be a famine for hearing. A hearing famine. People would be primarily deaf. And then to cap it off, try to find a ministry that's going to tell it truthfully. There are some, but they are few. Think of it. The devil knows that you dare not hear the truth. Because those of you who have had a touch from God, had an experience with the Lord, you especially must remain uninformed. Because when you hear something, God speaks in you to verify what's going on. To define and identify the meaning of all these things. That's why our newspapers these days are next to worthless. Especially editorials. I don't want to know what somebody says about something. Just tell me what happened. Newspapers don't have to be more than one page. Just give me a list of what happened. I'll figure it out. In prayer. Just list it for me. Did you ever notice before one of these politicians speaks, they have this thing come on, this forum of people, this team of experts, and they start telling you what he's going to say. And then he says this thing, and then again another team of experts come and tell you what he did say. Are people that dumb that they need everything interpreted for them? Yeah. But not interpreted, misinterpreted. Misaligned. They need to be misdirected. You hear all these buzzwords and little phrases like the ordinary American. King Obama keeps saying that all the time. The ordinary American. Well, he stands there with his $1,500. He won't put on a suit. Did you know that they interviewed him? He will not put on a suit that costs less than $1,500. And it's always Hart Schaffner and Marx. He likes that word Marx. As in Karl Marx. But anyway, he's always talking using these buzzwords, you know, and condescending to people as he is some great anointed one. Now just wait until January 20th. Why did they pick that day? Well, that's when the sun, you know, moves into the sign of Aquarius. Remember the fifth dimension, anybody? That song, Aquarius? When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace shall guide the planets and love shall steer the stars. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. The age of Aquarius. Harmony and understanding and all this, these things abounding. And then you get a little ways into the song and they talk about mystic crystal images. And see, Obama steps up, and when he's inaugurated, from that old Latin word from the Roman Empire, augur, which was a fortune teller, one who invokes spirits, including spirits of evil genius. The word genius actually comes from that invocation of evil spirits. There's another one for your vocabulary. All right? But the word inaugurate means to take omens or be invested with spirits. And so he'll stand there and face the Washington Monument, that obelisk, 555 feet high, triple five, triple death, and he'll be looking at that thing and taking that oath of office to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States that he said is a blemish and a blind spot. But what is an oath to a charlatan traitor like him? It doesn't mean anything. When he was brought up as a Muslim, and eventually when he came over and got in with the political mob in Chicago, and got in with that bunch, he was told to join a church with a Christian-sounding name, at least. And he found one church that would accept him without renouncing his Muslim faith. And that was that monstrosity that he joined up with that weird character who's now retired. They gave him millions of dollars and a brand new house, and they put him out to pasture now for doing it for a job well done. But the church that he joined didn't require the renunciation of Islam in order to be a Christian. Can you be two things at once? One thing about Christianity, if it's true Christianity, what does the Bible say we are to love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength? You can't be anything else but a true Christian. Or you're not one at all. this man whose both of his grandmothers said he was born in Kenya. And the one in Hawaii, after she was interviewed, suddenly took sick. And then he went over to see her, and then she died the day before the election. Now remember these, remember the Untouchables? All right, Mr. Nitty. Huh? Remember Elliot Ness, Robert Stack, all these programs? And these guys, you know what they'd do? They would go, the mob would go and bump somebody off. Right? And then they'd call and they'd order flowers for them. And they'd have a big funeral for them and have these little crocodile tears coming down. And they'd set up big wreaths for them. Hey, that was just standard business. Kill them and give them a big funeral. That goes on all the time. You might say, oh, how terrible that is. What a dirty bunch. Yeah, they are. You can figure that out, right? I'm just trying to be realistic with you here. They are enemies of the cross of Christ, and they're in business to do a job for the devil, and we're living right in the middle of it. And the Lord said in the last days there would be a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. Have you been east? They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Where do you find the word of God? Rick Warren? He says anything will do. He's continually talking like a Mason, continually using the word East and Orient and so forth. Why is he a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Illuminati in the United States, and this big religious leader? Some things mix very well, don't they? In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, Thy God, O Dan. Now, the sin of Samaria is they had a feminine deity that they worshipped. That's what he's referring to here. And thy God, notice God is not capitalized there. He's talking about the idols of the people. O Dan liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. He's talking about the absolute condemnation of all idols, all idolatry, including all this Baal mass stuff that's going up here all over the place. Boy, they start early, don't they? Is it idolatry? How about if they whack down a tree, haul it in a house, and hang silver and gold all over it, and put light bulb, bales of bulbs all over the thing, and put it up there? Is that an idol? Do they sing to it? O Tannenbaum, O Tannenbaum, wie treu sind deine Blätter. Du grunst nicht nur am Sommerzeit, dann auch im Winter, wenn es schneit. Oh, they sing to it. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree. Right? Do they put gifts under it? Do they have to bow down to it to pick up the gifts? And here's the dead tree, and they sit around in front of this dead tree eating candy out of a sock. Where did all this come from? False gods. Is it forbidden by the Bible? Ho, ho, yeah. To quote Santa Claus, ho, ho, ho. That Antichrist, hoodoo, dresses in crimson red, puts on a white beard like the Ancient of Days, comes from the utmost north, knows when you are sleeping, knows when you're awake, knows if you've been bad or good. Of course, now Obama's taken that job over. He knows all, you know. Oh, with his surveillance system, what's he going to do first thing? He's going to institute the American Security Force. Do you know what Hitler did first thing? Same thing. The pattern is identical. You know, this guy who grew up on dog meat and snake meat, did you know that? He admitted that himself. That he had that's what he ate all through his childhood, dog meat and snake meat. That's got to do something to you right there. This guy is manifesting himself as deity. Down there in Lake City, Florida, at his campaign headquarters, they had a big giant sign in the window. And it said, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done." And then in large letters it said, "Obama, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done." In a recent interview, one of the heads of his transition team said that he is ready to rule from day one. To what? They better tell me that again. I don't know if I heard that right. He's ready to rule from day one. All right. Now, why would he put it that way? You see, politicians, American politicians, all through history, governed. They didn't rule. We don't have a king here. And he named his administration, his political policies. He gave it a name. Remember, in the old days, they had the New Frontier and the New Deal. When Clinton was in, we had the Raw Deal. And they give it all these different names. He's calling his the Big Bang. See, that's what these anti-creation people do. They refer to the Big Bang as how we got here. Well, now he's going to recreate all things, make all things new with the Big Bang. And he clearly stated that he is going to implement executive orders, he said, for immediate impact. Be ready for immediate impact as he begins to rule. He and Rahm Emanuel. And incidentally, now the evidence has finally come forth. I've had people argue with me, "Oh, he's not the right seed line. He's not the right seed line." Now the evidence has come forth, both photographic and written evidence, that he is 50% Arab Bedouin, which makes him a direct descendant of Abraham through Ishmael and through Esau, makes him an Edomite and Idumean, because his family, and he's still got cousins over there, wandering through the northern deserts of Israel. That's where he came. He is 50% Arab. He's 25% Kenyan and 25% white. He referred to himself as a mutt. But to those who think that race is important and it does have a bearing in certain ways, we understand as far as whether he could be the Antichrist or not, he certainly has all the qualifications. And if he isn't, he's doing very well at qualifying until the real one does come along. He's doing very well at that. I have never seen anything quite like this in my life. You are in for an amazing ride, folks. Now, the Lord said there would be a famine for hearing, and Jesus said we must hear in order to be saved. Let's go back to the very beginning of chapter 8 and look at a few things. The prophet Amos was a fruit harvester of sycamore fruit. The Bible tells us that. And the Lord speaks in such wonderful ways. He'll speak to people in things, terms they can understand. "Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit." Summer fruit, of course, was the latest fruit. It was the last fruit of the season. It bruised very easily. It was almost overripe. The final fruit. Are we living in a time where in Christianity, and Jesus talked much about gathering fruit and gathering in the harvest, are we living in the last of the last days? I have no doubt. That means this is a time of summer fruit. Have you ever noticed how sensitive some people are? How easily they bruise? The least little thing sets them off and throws them into a spin. And all of a sudden they don't want to serve God anymore. Doesn't take much. It's a time of summer fruit. The last of the season. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. What's he saying here? He's announcing the end, the forthcoming end of the Old Covenant. Not the Old Testament. Not a people, but a covenant. Because that's really what is in question here. A people who have been disobedient, of course, the covenant was no good because man made it no good to themselves. It was good as far as God is concerned, because He kept it. But nobody else ever did. Until finally Jesus came and kept it to fulfill it and put everything in proper order and then brought forth a new covenant that we are now under. The old covenant no longer exists. It was fulfilled, not eliminated, fulfilled by Jesus Christ. You cannot outdo Jesus Christ. All right? And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. Why am I reading this? It did happen to the nation of Israel, but it's happening again here in the United States. The devil works the same pattern. The devil is not a creator. He does the same things over and over and over and over and over again. In various places in the world, various societies. He's moved his capital time and again. Remember when he was the king of Tyrus? In Ezekiel 28. And you can find different places where Satan's seat was, at Pergamos and so forth. He's moved his capital around. I wonder where it is right now. Where would Satan be most comfortable in his nefarious work? Well, and so here God is saying that the dead will be cast forth in silence. And it says, hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land fail. Do we have that going on in our country? Where the needy actually become more needy because of the policies of the elitists? Is there one now sitting in power, who's lost almost all of his popularity, by the way, because people have changed their gods? Is there one who has been in power, who has been working with the Wall Street elite, that now he says, we need accountability? Well, sure, you're on your way out with your millions. Now you need accountability, right? We need transparency, he says. What he means is we need things to be opaque. Always take the opposite of what they're saying. They go by that guideline, you know, they'll tell you the opposite of what they intend to do, and they'll always accuse the enemy of being what they are. You know where they got that from? They got that out of the Communist Manifesto. Hear this, all ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail. You know how many people are walking around out there without jobs? And now some of the chief economists are saying that 4 years from now, we will be in the deepest depression the world has ever known. So that doesn't give much hope for recovery, does it? Oh, what a picture I paint before you this day. But I want you to understand, it all means something. The Savior is coming again. Notice what they say. Jesus warned us of this too, but here God is speaking through the prophet, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn? and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat. In other words, let's hurry up and get this weekend over with here so we can open the markets again. Play some more games. Bring it down, down, down. Buy it cheap. Ride it up. Do you ever notice how it bounces? They force people to sell, bringing the price down. Then the ones with the money go in and they buy it and bring it. Then it registers the sales up, 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 up for a ways. And down and up and down and up. And they're riding this thing. They're riding it up and making more and more. And people are losing all their retirement funds. Businesses are closing down everywhere. Car dealerships, shopping malls, closing up. Why? It's on purpose. Who's going to buy it all up? The one who really has no money, the government. And when they buy out the airlines and they buy out all the transportation systems and they buy out eventually all the wholesale, the retail, all the food companies so they control the food, when they finally buy all of it out, you will have a Marxist socialist state. Right now the auto industries are saying, you know, we want money. Not just loan guarantees, give us money. They already got the loan. Did you know that the automobile industry has been given $25 billion in loan guarantees and they said that's not what we want. We don't want loans, we want money. And now they met yesterday. Did you hear about that one? They met yesterday in Washington. Bush was there, I think 20 different nations or so were there, talking about what to do about the economy. And after they talked it over, they agreed on one thing. We'll all cooperate with each other. That was the gist of the meeting. No firm plan. We'll all cooperate. Then they headed off for the banquet table, where they had some of the most expensive, exotic food that you could imagine. I can't even pronounce the names of some of it. Very rare things during this time of economic upheaval and poverty and people walking the streets. These guys are sitting there stuffing themselves with delicacies and washing it down with bottles of wine that cost $500 each. What's the true nature of the beast? You have to have power to control the common herd. See, I just want you to know that you're living in this country and these are the things that are happening. But remember this, this world is not your home. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If you're in the kingdom of God, you're in another realm. We're stuck here for a while, but we have a job to do. And it's not easy. Boy, I'll tell you, I mentioned this on Wednesday, I'm really going to watch my back. I don't know when I felt so bad. I was incredibly sick this last week. On Monday, I was in a hurry, but I stopped for a quick lunch at Culver's. It took a long time for some reason for them to get it to me. And 20 minutes later, I got so sick. Nobody else did, just me. But I got so sick, I thought I was going to die. It was definite food poisoning. And all week long, I was out of it. I'm not going to begin to describe it to you. I kept praying. Monday night, I was awake all night long praying, asking God what to do. And I kept hearing activated charcoal. Activated charcoal. So I started taking activated charcoal. It's an antidote. It's a universal antidote. And a few other things. I was ginger and peppermint and different things that I knew about. Anyway, finally yesterday, I started feeling like I could do something again. But I was sick. I thought I was going to die. I thought they got me this time. But the Lord was merciful. But I'll tell you what, I'm really watching my back now. After producing that DVD, which exposes Obama, and having been out on the internet, and millions of people that are coming onto our website, we're out there. Just out of curiosity, I got on the computer and typed my name in. And page after page of all kinds of things came up all about me. I didn't even want to read what they're all saying, but a lot of things were things I had written, things I had, tapes I had produced, all this kind of stuff. But it's everywhere. Other websites have got it on. It's going over the shortwave radio. It's all over the world. Everybody's grabbing onto this. And it's really something because it puts you in a strange position. I'm glad I can get the word out there, but I am definitely going to have to keep my eyes open. So I had a little, the Lord was warning me this week about that. And with this character coming in to power with his national security force, his civilian Gestapo and so forth that he's going to anoint, it's going to be something in this country. Thought police and so forth. We talked about it coming, now it's here. And so the Lord is saying through his prophet, and this is quite a verse, verse 5, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great? Big prices, small quantities. Any of that going on? Does that talking, could that be applied to the markets on Wall Street? To the swindle? To these men paying themselves hundreds of millions of dollars bonus while their company goes downhill? Headed for bankruptcy? They had a thing on yesterday about how if you have gift cards, use them. All these companies are going out of business. And they said 25% of all gift cards purchased in the United States are never cashed in. So all that money down the drain. But they said a lot of people are going to go and try to use their gift cards and they won't be able to because of bankruptcies. Businesses closing. Listen, you, as Al Jolson used to say, you ain't seen anything. You ain't seen nothing yet, he used to say. This is just the front end of it all. But it's all happening for a reason. Making the ephah small, that's a quantity of measure, and the shekel great, that's big price, and falsifying the balances by deceit. Oh, they wouldn't falsify anything, would they? By deceit? Has there been any deceit in the stock market? Any falsification with Lehman Brothers? With AIG, with Merrill Lynch, and on and on and on, and it's still closing up banks. Where did this all come from all of a sudden? But you know what people are saying? Well, that's okay because the gas prices are going down. Doesn't that tell you something? That they can go up and down and up and down and up and down? For no apparent reason? Actually, there's leverage right now. The reason they're down right now is there's leverage against Russia and Venezuela because they are two of the greatest oil-producing nations in the world through the Crimean in Russia and the Maracaibo in Venezuela. And they're literally robbing them of their power, which is why the Russian fleet has headed over for the Caribbean Sea. Now you watch when... Now they already said when Obama becomes the king. Might as well call it like it is, the way he's got it set up. That there will be a major attack very shortly thereafter. Now I know these things can sound scary, and I know I'm just full of this lovely news today. But the Apostle Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant. Let's bring the Bible into it. Not just look at all the happenings out there. Let's see what the Word of God says and follow the instructions on what to do. And there's one thing you can always do, and that is pray. If you're able to hear unto salvation, you're able to pray unto deliverance. It works. And you're going to find that prayer is the greatest and most wonderful ability that you have very soon, for you'll become fully dependent on it. I know people I've never seen before how it's going to be. And that's why they can't imagine it. They think this is all going to blow over. Everything's just going to get nice. It's not what the Bible says. That's not even what the experts out there are saying. But there is a change coming. And now, we know that Prime Minister Gordon Brown of Great Britain said, now is the time for a global society. That the only hope for survival is for all nations to unite, all economies to unite. What does the Bible say? This one called Barak. Barak, which in Hebrew means lightning. Have you ever read Revelation 13, where it said that one who would come would cause fire to come down from heaven in the sight of the beast? And if you look up the word fire in the Greek there from Revelation, it means lightning. Barak, lightning. Lightning would come down in the sight of the beast. And all these news commentators talking about it on election night kept saying, I don't know if you picked up on it or not, but they kept saying how the people of America were electrified by his rise in the polls. You even have polls and electricity. Oh well. Little play on words there. Now, the Word of God tells us in verse 6 that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. Do you see their plan? Okay, we'll buy the people, then we're going to own them. Right? You know what's coming, don't you? Oh, this wonderful stimulus check. Buy them for... go ahead and buy the poor. They don't even use silver anymore. They just use computer impulses. Do you realize the condition we're in right now would be impossible without computers? Do you know the inventor of the computer, the first computer, actually turned against it and said it's a curse? And he said what a computer is a solution waiting for a problem. It's a sponge that gathers problems, gathers trouble. It's proven to be true. We couldn't deal in billions, maybe billions, not many, but definitely not trillions and beyond without computers. You couldn't keep track of it all. You can't run this ship without me, said Hal in 2001, right? A number of years ago, I went to America and I'd run out of, this is years ago, but even then it was trouble. I ran out of tapes. I needed to pick up a couple hundred tapes to duplicate. And so I went in there and they had a really good price and they looked it up and they said, we can't sell them to you. And I said, why not? You're a store. You've got them. I've got the money. I want them. Why can't you sell them? The guy said, we don't know where they are. Somebody forgot to put in a location code. And we can't go through our warehouse looking for them. It's too big. Remember the old days? Remember that when you didn't have any plastic? You actually handed cash and people counted it back to you? They could count in those days. People worked in the store. They didn't push a button that tells you how much to give. They could really, honestly count. They had a brain that still worked. Go back to the 1920s when you got paid, they handed you a little envelope with cash in it. The government got nothing. There wasn't any income tax. Didn't exist. And when Roosevelt brought income tax in, Senator Abernathy stood up at one point and he said, in the Congress, and he said, "I think we need to put a cap on income tax." Of course, the Bible forbids taxing income. That's your livelihood. You cannot tax income. All right? Otherwise, God said his people would cry out, and he would hear them. Of course, people have accepted it, and you know, nobody's, you know, and I'm not saying you need to rise up against their state. You need to cry out to God. He'll take care of it. That's what the Word of God says. I'm not a revolutionist or anarchist. I do believe in crying out to God. He is able to bring complete equity and judgment to all things. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Praise the Lord. But they're going to send out these stimulus checks with what? And what? Where does that come from? The last batch came from China. Now, you don't have to believe me. I heard that on CNN. Lou Dobbs, you know, source of all truth and wisdom, right? Whew, some people, you know? Now, the Word of God says that they, you know, they're in the process of buying the poor and the needy for a pair of shoes, selling the refuse of the wheat, even food control. Isn't that something how they... Notice, refuse of the wheat. What's the equivalent of that today? Selling bad wheat. Well, they take the food that they've got. Of course, it's all grown with chemicals now. And then they process it. And they take wheat and they turn it into ding-dongs, Twinkies, devil dogs, ho-hos, whatever, and all this stuff. All you have to do is add grease, salt, sugar, and then the chemicals that makes it look like weed killer in the package. Put it all together, and people are going to buy that. They're going to gobble that stuff down. They're not even going to chew it. They're going to shove it down their throat. They like it so much. And there's nothing in it. Nothing. Go in the grocery stores. What are they featuring? Big stacks and big mountains of all this junk. But it's packaged nice. They've got flavor enhancers in it. Things that will trick your mind, right? Like monosodium glutamate, that's not a flavor enhancer. It tricks your mind into thinking what you're eating tastes good. That's what it does, how it works. It deceives the mind. Chemical deception. Refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. God's looking at all of this. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk around in ignorance. I'm glad that He gave me ears to hear, especially the gospel, but also these other things, because I hear the resonating voice through it all saying, "Our Lord cometh!" Because it cannot continue this way. You want to have a little fun? Call a car dealer and tell them you're thinking about buying a new car. That phone is going to ring off, your phone, give them your number, it's going to ring off the hook. They're going to call you 10 times a day. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we got a deal for you. Oh, they're going berserk out there. You know why? The banks are turning away 6 out of 10 applicants for loans. Even if they get a customer, he can't buy. People's credit, the credit of people is shot. They've been living on plastic. Now the plastic's no good. And you can get by with plastic for a little while until you start to default and get late charges, which now average $39, 313s. And the people who get hit the hardest are the ones who need the help the most. They start slapping you around like a redheaded stepchild. They're not nice. Shall not the land tremble for this? And everyone mourn that dwelleth therein. Hey, watch. The big inauguration is coming, you know, on the 20th. Kind of interesting, too. You know, when that night when Obama was elected, for entertainment, he had Bruce Springsteen, who refers to himself as the Jersey Devil, because that's where he's from, you know. The Jersey Devil. And he wrote a new song for Halloween, you know, for all of his cult following, a free download on the internet. And it was called The Jersey Devil. And in it, he sung about 16 witches casting 16 spells. This is the guy Obama had, you know, for his election night entertainment. 16 devils casting 16 spells. Now, let me ask you something. How many cabinet members are there? 15. And the vice president makes 16. What do you got? 16 devils, witches, I should say, casting 16 spells over the country. This is no joke. These people are occultists. They know what they're doing. But God said, "Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt." Now, I've got to explain something, and I'm just about out of time here, but I've got to explain this to you. The wording there, and I'm going into the Hebrew to find the inner meaning of this. When it talks about a flood, that's exactly what it means, of course. And this is totally accurate. But to enhance our understanding a little bit, it's talking about a rising pounding effect and then a withdrawal. And a rising pounding effect and then a withdrawal. Almost like waves of the sea, except it's a flood. It's cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. In fact, in Egypt, the Nile River would expand and widen and go into flood stage and then recede. And it wouldn't take long, and another big wave would come in from upstream, and it would widen out again and then go back in. And he's referring to this here. It's like the river of Egypt, that this political power, those that are doing all these shenanigans, they're going to come in. It's going to be like a crashing tidal wave. It'll recede, and it'll come in again, and it'll recede, and it'll come in again. And that will be the ongoing effect until finally the Lord comes. So people will say, "Oh, it's getting better. I can put more gas in my car." And all the stores are losing money except Walmart. China. Red Walmart, you might as well call it. And they're increasing dramatically because they're so much cheaper and all the junk that they sell, people clamoring to buy all this stuff. The other stores are getting nothing and they're all going out. Do you see prophecy being fulfilled? You know, God said that He would change everything. I look for His change, not Obama's. In fact, the Lord said in verse 9, "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in a clear day, and I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof is a bitter day." Interesting, isn't it? The Lord said that what He would do, and He did it, is He would show a sign. That sign would be that the sun would go, there'd be dark at noon, put it that way. When was it dark at noon? When Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary. Right? There would be a new covenant that this is the way out, the blood of Jesus. That is when there was no sun at noon. That is when He stopped the temple worship and came to dwell within His people. Not temples made with hands. But even though He had a temple for His people, now He had His people for a temple. He said, "I will walk in you." Where does He walk? Among the seven golden candlesticks. "Ye are the temple of the living God." Not something man built, but something that God established and indwelt you as His child, as His temple. He, the King of Kings, dwelling within. And He has totally occupied my heart. I just don't have any room for any other king. You know, we do have to lay things out the way they are. You know, people don't, they really, it hasn't, because of the deafness, the spiritual deafness, it hasn't registered with people. I'm going to close with this thought. You know, God is able to heal our spiritual deafness if we have it. I'm only going to refer to, I don't have time to read anything more, we've really got 2 minutes about, but I want to say this yet, that in James chapter 4, we are told about from whence come wars and fightings among you. It talks about war and fighting. Then in chapter 5, he says, go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. There you have economic collapse. What have we had with George W. Bush? War and economic collapse in that order. And James 4 says war, and James 5 says economic collapse. Who's going to help us? Who is your God? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who hung on the cross, and when it became dark at midday, that's the sign of the end of the old covenant, not testament, covenant, and the bringing forth of the one that we're in to this very day. And all those who have ears to hear, Jesus said, let them hear. Don't allow yourself to be deafened by the distractions of this world, by the media. So much more could be said. You'll have to read it in my newsletter. I'm well into page 4 already. I just started yesterday morning. But now, remember, the Savior is alive and very present. And He is going to sustain you. As soon as we learn to trust Him, we'll feel the peace that comes from that knowledge. God help us. This is it. We're down to the wire. Inauguration Day is around the corner, and it's one of the most occultic days of the year. Any astrologer would tell you that's when the sun moves into Aquarius, the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And a new king takes immediate power, he said, and will begin to rule from day one. A ruler! Well, I have a king, and no other. His name is Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, that we could consider these things today and look into Thy Word. Help us to be moved, O Lord, by Thy power, to learn to trust Thee. Give us all ears to hear that this would not just enter in one ear and go out the other, but, Lord, that it would go deep down and sink down into our hearts. Because eternity is just ahead and we will spend it somewhere. There will be a resurrection unto life and a resurrection unto damnation. And the gospel stands between. Oh, that Thy people everywhere would be faithful, and that Thou wouldst stretch forth Thy hand to draw others through the hearing of Thy word unto Thy glorious salvation. Be Thou with us now. Let Satan not be able to hinder us. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen.